The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
So, how many of you have heard the story of Abraham and Isaac? Let's see, raise your hands. It looks like, for those of you at home, it's everyone in the congregation. Everyone's heard this story before. So, how many of you have found this story to be terrifying? Show of hands. Also, pretty much everyone. Okay. Now, one more show of hands. How many have heard that the first sentence that God says to Abraham in this story contains an untruth? Show of hands. Coulter's heard it before because he heard the sermon at 8:30. So has Luke. All right, but to say, the fact that none of you have heard that before terrifies me because it means you haven't been told the full story. See, God says to Abraham, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain that I will show to you. Now, the untruth in that statement is that Isaac is Abraham's only son. Abraham has another son, Ishmael. Now, Abraham doesn't know this. Abraham thinks Ishmael has died, but we know this because we know the full story. We know that a chapter earlier, Abraham's wife Sarah had said to Abraham that he should send his son into the desert to die. And because of this, we know that the first person to ask Abraham to sacrifice a son is not God, but Sarah. Because in her jealousy, she felt that the presence of Abraham's firstborn son from a slave woman would threaten her son Isaac's chance to inherit. And so she demands that Abraham send Ishmael and Ishmael's mother out into the desert where they will surely die. And Abraham is disturbed by this, but he does it. He wakes up early one morning, and he puts on the shoulder of Hagar supplies, and he sends them out into the desert to die. But Ishmael doesn't die, because at the last moment, God opens the eyes of Ishmael's mother to see what will save her boy, a well full of cold water. Because God does not desire the death of children. But there is another God in the Bible who does. This God's name is Moloch. And if we have read more of this story that continues throughout the books of the Bible into Leviticus, into 2 Kings, into Jeremiah, we will hear of this God Moloch, how in the ancient Near East, people who wanted to secure prosperity for themselves would offer their children as burnt sacrifices to this idol named Moloch. So yes, there is a God who desires the death of children in the Bible, but it is not our God. And in fact, every time Moloch is mentioned in the Bible, God is always clear in denouncing this practice. We know this if we have read the full story, but Abraham doesn't. And God is testing Abraham. Now, there are some preachers who will try and tell you that the test that God is giving to Abraham is to see whether or not Abraham will follow God without question or doubt. And if someone tries to tell you this, ask them to tell you the full story. Ask them to tell you the story from the beginning about God's relationship with Abraham, because the truth is, Abraham constantly doubts God, constantly questions God. Twice, Abraham pretends that his wife Sarah is his sister so that he can marry her off to kings in exchange for wealth and protection. If this is news to you, I invite you to read Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 20. And while you're at it, read Genesis chapter 16, in which Abraham and Sarah have so much doubt for God's promise that they will have a child that they force their slave Hagar to sleep with Abraham. And then read Genesis chapter 17 when God says to Abraham that Sarah will give birth to a son named Isaac, and Abraham literally laughs in the face of God. And then read Genesis 18, where God intentionally tells Abraham about God's plan to destroy the city of Sodom so that Abraham will object. Because when God tells Abraham God's plan to destroy the city of Sodom, Abraham responds by coming close to God and saying, "Far be it from you, O God, to wipe away the righteous with the wicked." Abraham says to God, "If there are 50 righteous people in Sodom, will you sweep away the whole city and not forgive it for the sake of these 50? Far be it from you, O God, to treat the righteous the same as the wicked. Shall not the judge of the earth be just?" Abraham calls God to a higher standard, and God agrees. God says, "Okay, if there are 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will not destroy it." But Abraham is not satisfied. Abraham says, "What if there's 40 righteous people?" And God agrees. And Abraham comes back and says, "What if there's 30 righteous people? What if there's 20 righteous people? What if there are 10 righteous people?" Five times Abraham calls God to a higher standard. Five times Abraham is willing to defend the city of Sodom. But when God asks Abraham to sacrifice his own son, Abraham speaks up not a single time. And why is that? Perhaps Abraham loves his son Isaac less than he does the city of Sodom. Or perhaps it is easier to sacrifice a son when you have already practiced sacrificing a son first. Or perhaps Abraham needs to believe that God demands the death of children in order for Abraham to be able to live with himself for having already sent one son to die. Whatever the reason, Abraham agrees without objection. And just as Abraham did for Ishmael, it says that Abraham arose early in the morning. And just as God did for Hagar, or just as Abraham did for Hagar, Abraham places supplies on the shoulder, but this time of Isaac, as he leads Isaac to his death. But Isaac does not die. Because at the last moment, God opens the eyes of Isaac's father to see what will save his boy, a ram, that Abraham can offer in Isaac's place. Because God does not desire the death of children. Now, there are some preachers who will try and tell you that Abraham passed the test by being willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. But if someone tells you that, ask them for the full story. Ask them what happens after this moment in time. Ask them what happens to the relationship between God and Abraham, to the relationship between Abraham and Isaac. Because after God stops Abraham from sacrificing his son, God never says, "Well done, you passed the test." What God says to Abraham is, "Now I know that you fear the Lord." God knows that Abraham is afraid of God. But God doesn't say that's a good thing. You see, Abraham and God have talked half a dozen times by this point in Scripture, and never once is their relationship described using the word fear. But from this point forward, Abraham and God will never again speak to each other. Their relationship ends. And it is true that before Abraham and Isaac go down the mountain, God once more affirms the promise that Abraham will have numerous descendants. But God has already made this promise to Abraham six times. And God adds nothing more to the promise this final time. And in fact, something profound is lost. Because from this point forward, Abraham and Isaac will never speak to each other. Perhaps it is too painful a thing to talk to your father when he held a knife to your throat. to say what God gives Abraham is what God had already promised. And it feels to me not like the prize given to someone who has passed the ultimate test. To me, it feels like a consolation prize given by God, who was faithful to God's promises no matter what Abraham does. Because yes, God put Abraham to the test. God tested to see what kind of God Abraham thought God was. And when push came to shove, Abraham was willing to make God into Moloch, into an idol that would justify Sarah's demand for the death of a child to ensure prosperity, and who would justify Abraham's willingness to comply. Because that is what we do. Time and time again, we are willing to sacrifice our children for prosperity. Whether it is our environment or our national debt, too often we are willing to say that for the sake of our prosperity, we will sacrifice our children's futures. We send a child to war. And then when we are asked to send a second child, we cannot say no, lest we have to admit that perhaps we were wrong to have sent the first. We are told that the price we pay for national security is having children separated from their parents at the border and having a pipeline from schools in inner cities to prisons. We are told that's what the world demands. And so, like Abraham, we are willing to rise up early in the morning and place supplies on the shoulder of the children that we send to die. And we tell ourselves, this is just how the world works. There's no use fighting. It has to be this way. Even God demands the death of God's own son. We shouldn't expect anything better for our kids. If there are voices who try to tell you that, demand that they tell you the full story. Demand that you hear how it begins and how it ends. Ask them, why is it that families are fleeing from Central America? What is the beginning of the conditions that cause them to leave their homes with children on their backs? Ask, what is the beginning of the reason that so many students are arrested in inner city schools? And what is the end? How will sending them to prison solve the problem? Ask, how is it that we came to this place where our prosperity as a nation depends on mortgaging our children's environmental and economic futures? And when someone tells you that your God demands the death of a child, that your God demands the death of God's own child, demand to hear the full story. Demand to hear how it begins at the very beginning when God created all the universe and every person and declared that they were good. Demand to hear how the first time that someone is declared bad, those words come not out of God's mouth, but out of Adam and Eve's. How the first human sacrifice is Cain killing his brother Abel. How the first child sacrifice is Sarah banishing Ishmael. How God wants none of these things. But people do. How people again and again look at the suffering in this world and say, for our safety, a child's blood must be shed. Until at the end of the story, God says, I will put an end to this. I will put an end to the tale that you have told yourself in every generation. If you are so convinced that a child needs to die, let that child be my child, so that every other child might live. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him might not die, but have eternal life. Jesus dies not to satisfy God's lust for blood, but to satisfy ours. Like Abraham, our bad theology is killing children. And so Jesus dies that he might kill our bad theology, that every child might live. And so if someone says to you that the story of this world is just that children have to die, there's no use arguing about it. Demand that you hear the full story. Demand that it be God's story. demand that it ends the way Jesus promises that it will, with life for Isaac, with life for Ishmael, with life for Elijah McClain, with life for every single little one who Jesus tells us to offer a cold cup of water to, and then assures us that if we do, we will not lose our reward. The reward of being able to speak to our children with joy. The reward of being able to speak to our God without fear. For these are the greatest gifts of prosperity. May we share in their abundance. Amen.